Blog Talk Radio.
Holy are you, holy are you, there is no God
you.
But you.
Uh-huh.
There is no God but you.
I need to talk to y'all for a minute.
Praise be the Lord.
You're serious for a minute.
Holy are you.
Why they call me the God MC, the lyricist. Trace this style to the roots, I'm Genesis. The world wonder, I'm still standing like pyramids. Design so vivid, every brick it got a story to tell. My rhyme flow different like a hieroglyphic. Mind prolific, infinite, like mathematics. The first language, now add that and add graphic. Go ahead, it gon' let the fly flow, it's the gospel. Life's new manual, so watch close. The new Michelangelo or Pablo Picasso. Prepare to show you the cosmos and vibe flows. Even my lyrical metaphysical, what this is do is help you get to your spiritual pinnacle. You find your mind too far fetched for it to fathom. I bring the darkness to the light, split the atom. It's like watching a big bang theory emerge. I take titles falling through a billion worlds. They want a clear view from the farthest in the darkest corners of the universe to a corner near you. A barrel and ghetto apparel, stay blamed up, Fort Knox. A modern day King Tut, rap tight, rap like I've been preserved in time. Spit the holy water to touch it, to turn it to wine. It's your dog. So he fell from paradise to holy hell. Probably descendants of the Holy Grail. Another part of history they won't reveal. Time to only tell. You waiting for judgment. It came in the form of a dove in the game to create its own position. It's blood in my vein. The chemical is identical. We one of the same. With seven letters and all three of my government names. Walk on water. Nah, neighbor to Jesus. It's a parable to make followers and readers believers. From Egypt to Budapest. Rock him as the truest left. Understand the scriptures like the minister Lewis F. I told you who God is. You ignore me like most of the prophets. Jesus, Solomon, Abraham, Moses, and Muhammad. I show the scholars would fulfill the broken promise. I speak the truth to predict the future like those Thomas. Like revelations, I'm hoping my pulse will fill the seven spirits of God when I open the seal. Interpret the holy Quran. These flows of God translate to law and decode the Bible. Warn the elders in the mosque, made songs and the laws. The seven churches, synagogues, it's the Renaissance. In the bronze, like the Messiah, rocking my laws. About to reveal a bigger secret in time, men of God.
Holy are you, holy are you, there is no God.
I want to challenge you,
there is no God but
and soon I will challenge the talent of the Lord.
The Lord.
I am the Alpha and the Omega. It's God.
Kids, bring your kids to the kettle.
And the reason why is because my hosting teacher, Prince Ceramic C.J. Gervais, was the crown prince of the Empire of Russia at the moment. He's given that title by the Emperor Bertiazzi, Rostov, Gaston L. Bay, on June 7th, 1999. All right? And in 2000, when the FBI raided the plot, so as if that, you know, things could have been helped together better. And by 2003, he formulated or established as a crown prince can do, based on the definition of his own providence, in which that became known as the United States of America more. The first mission state of the empire, and so we followed through with that. And myself, being a prince in the United Washington, we wanted to get down to what he wanted and what they was already working on from 1990s and before. He became a member of the Washington back in 1991. Alright? So he was Washington for a long time before anyone knew what Washington was. You know, it wasn't until Brother Bobby Winnick and Hakeem Hwaday started actually teaching the information on the Washington. That came through those two brothers during the mid 90s. And so I did props and praise to come from two brothers right there for getting that information out. And of course, Brother Bobby Hennig, we got a lecture yesterday with Brother Phil Valentine, Brother Phil Valentine and Puma Four in New York City. And Baba gave a shout out and, you know, an update on Brother Bobby Hennig's condition. And I was told by Brother Azariah that Bobby was coming home this week. And, you know, so what is taking place is that I guess the healing is taking place. Everybody who's sending out energy is working. I know I did an absolute travel, and I've seen Brother Bobby in it, still in his body, you know, and conversating with him. And I told him what was going on is that, you know, a lot of people are sending positive energy before the healing can take place, you know. Of course, the church is absorbed if you want to absorb it or not, you know, to continue the mission. But you see, of course, you know, for the body of the being, so, you know, it ain't too much I wouldn't want. But that definitely was something in which that took place. And we wanted to get into more of this info about who is the Washington, because many have their speculation, but if you get the Book of the Dead, and it's called the Hieroglyphic Transcript of the Papyrus of Ani, translation to English by E.A. Wally Budge, the word Washitor is derived from the word Usheta, or Ushet, in which that was a form of Edheru, or Hathor, as she was known as, Hagar within your Bible, the Egyptian. Mm-hmm. And was identified current of the sky in the north when the sun rose. She is either depicted in the form of a woman, hence the reason why the Washington is the major of society. It says, having upon her head the crown of the north and a scepter round where a serpent is twined, or as a winged Uraeus, wearing the crown of the north. She was the principal goddess of the town of Buto in the Delta. The goddess Ushet is the serpent headed. Right? Serpent head. That's the symbol of the serpent head. Now, of course, you understand that the woman symbolizes the mother goddess Osiris, which is I.E. the Kundalini. Mm-hmm. She's like the outward manifestation of the mother goddess principle, which is the concentrated personal energy within each and every one of us. So this goddess of the north, symbolizing how the snake has risen up from the south, which is the base of the spine, up towards the north, which is the top of the head, and then, of course, bowing over. Hence the word kunta, a bowl, and to what is known as the top of the head, down into the forehead, to the area in which they see along the tiaras or the crowns of the so-called ancient Egyptians or Cumans or Tamarians. You would see a serpent raised out from that particular area, symbolized that the kunkaling has risen. So the word Usheta or Washita symbolizes reaching the epitome of enlightenment. Right? That's what it means. Matter of fact, the word Usheta or Usheta from immoral or immortal or immoral is that the symbol of the winged Sundays. Now, we've all seen this winged Sundays. This is similar to what Malachi, the 4th chapter, the 2nd verse, speaks about, that the Son of Righteousness would come with healing in his wings. The Son with the wings symbolizes the human shepherd and has been used to signify freedom. That's what it's been used for, to signify freedom and expansion. The expansion of the mind, the expansion of soul, the expansion of Ra or Atan, Atan Re. In the Osirian mythology, Heru defeated Set by becoming or Washeta, or the winged serpent, the divinity. In other words, this is what it means by Allah and man is one, between the 101 and 102 of our lessons. Right? Thus, it is created by Jehuti, which symbolizes wisdom, that the Ur, Reshet, shall be seen decorated over every temple as a protection from evil. Now, this is from the Osirian resurrection myth, Hapua 176b. Now, in Dr. Muwatta Ashby's book, it's called The Egyptian Tantric Yoga Guide to Love, Sex, Marriage, Relationships, and Spiritual Enlightenment. He goes on to say that the Ur Eshet is the epitome of the ancient Egyptian tantric mystical philosophy as it still is today. It is supreme exposition of the understanding of all encompassing, all persuasive, absolute existence. Therefore, the wings are used by both gods and goddesses of the natural groups. In ancient Egyptian mythology, called the supreme deification or divinity encompasses both male and female attributes, all optics, they are called complementary. All existence, the state of androgyny. Thus, in order to overcome evil, the concept of opposites, which is duality, it is necessary to discuss the all encompassing, which is the oneness of the higher self. Now, within this understanding, there can be no evil since there is no duality. So he's saying that when you reach the Ur-Osheta, or the Ur-Oshet, or Washeshet, or Washeshet, when you reach this level of consciousness, so that's actually what we're talking about. We are a physical representation of consciousness. So when we take on the term Washeshet, we're saying that we physically represent the higher self incarnate. And the will of my will becomes the will of the higher self. In other words, there's only one will. There is no two. There is no duality at this point. There is no such thing as opposites. We're not looking at things good and bad, right or wrong, agreeable or disagreeable. Good or evil, you're not looking at things from that concept any longer. You're looking at everything as it was and forevermore will be. Alright? Now, according to M. Lafaro, it's called the memoirs, Sir Kikwari Kari, he states that the goddess Ishet comes up from the underworld and would change their faces into things of beauty with I fly up and perch myself upon the forehead of Ra in the bows of his boat, which is in heaven. Now, this is also about your forehead and the top of your head. That's the sky. I am the spiritual body of the sustainer of Mayat, which is made by the goddess Keshet. This is what it says. Right? Matter of fact, it goes on. Matter of fact, within acting according to the biological psychiatry by Dr. Richard King, I think it was another book that he had, and it's called Melanin and the Key of Freedom. He said Africans believe that the unlimited power of individual godhood occurs with one who sees God. That's what this is all talking about. And of course, this is all biblical, because this is found within Genesis in the old chapter, Old Testament. I think Genesis, the 32nd chapter, the 30th verse. It says that, talking about Jacob, called the name of the place Peniel or Penal, for I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved. You know, so that is talking about when you have seen a rule of God or light, you know, face to face. That's what that is actually talking about. This is what we're talking about within the 101 and 102s, where it speaks about these two selves. You have the lower self to symbolize yourself, and then you have the higher self to symbolize the rule. The higher self does battle with the lower self and defeats the lower self. The attributes of the lower self is everything that harms. Everything that harms. Murder, weakness, lust, greed, jealousy, everything that harms comes or established or is exuded through the lower self and the attributes. The higher self is most love and light. Anything in which that stands for righteousness, freedom, expansion, like the mind, that's what this all is symbolic to. This play has been played out within times, not just as far as individuals on the planet. That's because of race or sex, but within one's own self. That's where the real battle takes place. And that is the great Armageddon. That is the great jihad that Muslims and Christians speak about. Right? It's within self. It has nothing to do with external war. You have to conquer your own demons. The bones of the skeletons in your own closet. You have to eliminate your own baggage. You know, that's about being said. Bad ladies, well, with bad brothers too. You know, the elimination of as much burden or weight as possible helps you to feel freedom, helps you able to expand your mind, expand consciousness. All right. In the New Encyclopedia Britannica, it says, "With the serpent raised to the sixth stage, the form of God is seen." Check that out, man. When the serpent raised to the sixth stage, which is the sixth chakra, the form of God is seen. But the slight veil remains. It is as if one sees the light within a lantern and thinks that the light itself can be touched, but the glass is a beam. This is what it says, man. Now, this takes us to the New Testament, Luke 11, chapter 34, verse. The light of the body is the eye, just one eye. Therefore, when thy eye is single, thy whole body is filled with light. But when thy eye is evil, the whole body is filled with dark. So this eye, this ring, sends. All right, all of this is connected. All that is talking about, actually what is activated above, the pineal gland. There's an area within the pineal gland that you get divorced by, Layla Africa, in Hotep Africa, he states within Nutricide, it was on page 15. He shows you a blown up picture of a brain, the equivalent size of a car. And hovering directly over the pineal gland is a galaxy like cloud. This galaxy like cloud looks like a cloud, it looks like a UFO. That is your own personal new data. A nebula is your golden light. That is where the light extends from. That is your actual chakra. That is your pineal gland chakra. All right? And when you have these particular beams in which that spreads out diagonally from the top of your head, to the back of your head, to the side of your head, along the sides of your ears, along the temple lobe, then as well as also from the in between the eyebrows to the back of the head, you know, medulla oblongata, and also from the top of the head down to the perineum. This is what is called your inferior, or what is known as your planar tissue. All right, and these particular beings just lights up this fourth eye, as it's called, or first eye, as it is called, which that hovers over the pioneer's mind, which gives you access, intuition to, or cosmic records, or the universal library, or what is known as astral plane in that particular sense, and height. Or perhaps the physical plane, which is the plane of force, you have your astral plane, which is your emotional plane, the mental plane, the causal plane, the spiritual plane, and also your soul plane. Alright? This is soul activation now that we're talking about in the continent. And this gives you access to all of the planes of existence. Alright? Now, this is what is known, of course, as the coming here rule, or the Messiah, or quite so much as like a Metatron. Really, these are all states of consciousness, all enlightenment, or enlightenment. As we just go to our minds. Alright? Now, so this true wing disc is in the brain. This is the actual photograph that we were talking about, which is in Nutricide in the book. And everyone can go there, they have the book to check it out. For those who don't know who Nibiru or Nephiru is, he's one of the 42 natural rules of the gods of Mayat. The name Nephiru means golden light, as he said. And actually, this interval. Nibiru call us the external star Sirius C, which is known as Inia. Okay, which symbolizes that mother principle again, Inia. Alright? If you go within Europe, Inia is also one of the female goddesses of the Southern African powers. Alright? I'm going to start there as far as spiritual information before we continue on. Is there anything that y'all want to build on?
Yes. I noticed you were talking about the pineal gland and the how we rise up from all the way up to the spiritual world. What it sounded like what you were talking about, dealing with the Kundalini chakras.
Right. Well, we know that the pineal gland is the medium between out-of-body experience, spiritual experience, and the inner body or the physical realm. So this is what gives us the ability, of course, to, that's our mind's eye. That's what gives us the ability in order to see, you know, our physical eyes. And with this consciousness checked down at nighttime, it gives us the same consciousness, you know, when we sleep, and it was also after we pass on or pass through the very flesh. That's what many people realize. They think that it's just that impression that you had while you sleep in, but it is a known fact that sleep just was a cousin of God. So there's the same thing taking place in life.
Right.
Even after the past storm. But go ahead.
Yeah, this is what the prophet told us to focus on a continuous basis. And it seemed like people are now focusing on this. He said we must understand the higher and lower self, and this is what we should be focusing on, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Because that how also you going to connect to God within or Allah within, Allah in man. You can't do it, you know. And how do you do it? We know that based on Elizabeth and the Zohar of Egypt in chapter 2, it speaks about the Holy Breath. The Holy Breath is how you do it. It comes by way of the Holy Breath. The Holy Breath is the medium, you know, in which that unifies the lower self and the higher self. It merges the lower self into the higher self to become just one self. Hence, no more duality, no more opposite. There is no north and south, no more west and east. written down.
Yeah.
There's none of that any longer in that particular format because now it is just one. And you can't give words and stuff. That is what is meant by the Elohim. The Elohim are the creator. But there's seven Elohim, but they all go back within three and into one. That is based on the particular number formula method in which that you can identify one. Within the Holy Quran, so it's 7, 53, and 10, 1. I won't get into what that right
now. Also the seventh intelligence of
right.
Elohim.
Right. Those are the seven intelligence, which is the same within the book of Revelation, which is the seven chapters or the seven churches or the seven eyes or the seven flames or the seven candles. It's mentioned within, you know, the book of Revelation. It's mentioned at least 3-4 times about the number you know, 7. All right, so.
Yeah, the seven heavens.
Right,
yeah.
The seven heavens. Right, all of that is talking about your chakras. That's why when we just read about the serpent being raised up into the sky, and the sky is talking about your forehead, you know, that's what that is. Your head symbolizes the sky. That is heaven. All right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that heaven, which is the third eye or fourth eye, gives you access to the astral plane or the dream world. Nightly is what is also afterdwelling of the physical form. This is what the science is as far as being watched for, is to learn these disciplines, these particular principles. You know, many have just taken it to mean getting paperwork. And paperwork is something which that reflects, you know, how you mentally feel, you know, and it's a projection or an extension of how you feel. You know, mentally still. But spiritually, the work still must be done. You must still master all these God as being a beginner of light, being a Muslim or Muslim, being one who is a child of God or a child of light. You know, we must consider the principles. And we broke down several shows before. Of the word Muslim or Muslim is the Iraqi word Mesra, which means a child of Ra, like a child of the light, or the rebuilder of light. And that's who the Quran in Quran chapter 7 speaks about. That as one of the rebuilders of light, our duty is to teach the Holy Breath and how to harmonize, go to verse 18 and verse 19, how to harmonize the lower self and the higher self, so that there's only one self, so that there's harmony and peace. That there's harmony and peace. So that means the only way that you can gain internal peace and let that be a reflection of your outward existence is coming from working internal power. Your inner power, it must be activated. And that comes through the blood cycle itself. Alright, so, definitely say that. Right, we know that the Empire Washitor, the Washitor proper is called, consists of particular states, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, Minnesota, Nebraska, Colorado, Kansas, Iowa, Missouri, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Alabama, Utah, Boston, Texas, New Mexico, Florida, portions of, even of what we now call the 13 colonies, you know. Actually, all the way up into almost the whole of Canada. That was actually what we would say, actually, three-fourths of North America. Actually, that is Washington proper. And we actually governed over 30 million acres in North America alone at one time. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Empress, if anybody ever reads the book, my book, I'm in particular, the post World War, you will see in there the Grant, you will see in there the particular cases. As a matter of fact, we will tell you now how all of this came about. If you're dealing with the Empire, watch out, just like the moment. You know that, you know, we all citizens of the Kushite, Kushite Empire, Songhai, Malian Empire, this is the Olmec, all of that is one of the same, and the Ultima Empire, which is the Moroccan Empire, all of that is the same thing. That's why it's called the Empire Washington Dekamon, because it's, that's what it is. And the Washington is also Choctaw, all right, a staff tool, which actually is the T where you get the tribe of Shabazz from. So the tribe of Shabazz, Choctaw, the Washington, all that is one and the same.
Wow.
All right, but,
okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, what happens is that the Empire laid claims to the following land by bloodline. This is important now because it's through bloodline.
Yes, it is.
The Bourbon State is state, also known as the Imperial International State of the Bourbon Habsburg Empire. It included, now check this out, it included the Western Europe, the Netherlands, Luxembourg, Switzerland, Germany, Italy, Sicily, Naples, Sardinia, Spain, and Portugal, as well as most of North America and the Caribbean. Additionally, the Central and South America, and all of North America west of the Imperial demarcation line of 1713, or the British Royal Proclamation line of 1763. This is the breakdown of the Royal Imperial bloodline of the Washington Tunica Moors. In other words, they ran through all of Europe and controlled Europe at one time. And this is the video by my man, Master Chuck, True Master. He actually did several videos on the Habsburg lineage. And he will show you in his information how these are more. All right?
So that's
bloodline. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, so you said the Habsburgs. The Habsburg dynasty was part of the what they call the black nobility of Europe.
Exactly. One of the same.
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't know it was
so
all that connected.
Yeah, like the movie Black Knight with Martin Lawrence.
Exactly, yes.
Exactly. So, this is also what we know is that this breakdown of the Royal Imperial bloodline for the Washington Tunica Moors. It says that the young heir of the French throne, King Louis XVII, married the young heiress of the Washington Tunica throne, Annie Maria. Now, their imperial marriage would become official in 1795, persuading to the conveyance of the Spanish land grant. Now, check this out. Go back to the movie, Celestine Prophecy. All right, written by James Redfield. It's a book, but go and look at the movie. Within 15 minutes of the movie, two white guys are riding down along the side of a mountain in Peru. Beautiful. All right, and beautiful off in the distance. And the guy, the passenger, comes out of nowhere and asks, the driver says, well, how did y'all acquire the land? And he says, oh, the Moors gave it to us for a land grant. Right in the movie. Right in the movie.
Wow.
Because minutes of the movie. Just go and see it.
What's the name of it?
Celestine Prophecy. CELESTINE. Celestine Prophecy.
Okay. Got to check
right.
it out.
So, yes, you got to check it out because that is persuading to the conveyance of the Spanish land grant bestowed upon the young heir, King Louis the 17th. And his wife, Eris, Anna Maria. Now, these two would also received the imperial Spanish land grant of 1763. And as the recipient of both the 1762 and the 1795 Spanish land grant, check this out, King Louis XVII became known as the Marquis de Maison Rouge, owner of Louisiana and Florida. Okay? Now, anybody in history will tell you that the Louisiana Purchase was never purchased. And I'll get to that in a second. Because the Empress spoke about it in an article, and I'm going to get to her article. But it says upon the death of Anna Maria and King Louis XVII, the title of Louisiana, Delphine, and Royal Regent, as we put the Royal Regent on the Marquis de Maison Rouge, was conveyed to the next line, to the Imperial French line, or crown, and that was Louis Francis Joseph de Bourbon. Now, y'all know the Bourbon Street, that is one of the streets on which that the Mardi Gras is still done, basically, in New Orleans. But it says Prince de Conti, that was, now he was born 1734 through 1814, and he was the son of Francis, of Louis Francis de Bourbon. All right, Prince Conti, 1776. And then you have the daughter of Anna Maria and King Louis XVII married Louis Francis Joseph Bourbon, Prince de Conti, and as the second Marquis de Maison Rouge, Louis Francis Joseph Bourbon became the recipient of both the Imperial Spanish land grants of 1762 and the Spanish land grants of Monroe, Louisiana. Now, with the death of Joseph E. Bourbon, the eldest son, Henry Joseph Turner inherited the Maison Rouge estate. Now, they turned the name Turner, all right, they changed the name Turner from Tunica, which is the native tribe. Tunica is the native tribe of the Americans. That's the actual name is Tunica, because they wore tunics, which is head wraps, or they wore turbans, all right? That's how they got their name, Tunica, because they wore turban. All right, these are, and this is where you had the, and if you see Cherokee, you see any pictures of the Cherokee, you see some of them wearing turbans. All right, according to Foster Black South, remember there's five of them, Choctaw, which is Washita Creek, which is Muscogee, Chickasaw, Seminole, and as well as also Cherokee. Those are the five civilized tribes. All of them is connected and interrelated because you have the Camp Holmes Treaty, or the Treaty of Camp Holmes, in which that shows that all of these nations combined, and it was called the Wichita Nation, or the Washita Nation. Right? It's right in this document in the first paragraph. Now, it says from Henry Joseph Tunica married Sarah Tunica or Turner, and from this union came their eldest son Joseph Henry Turner, the fourth Maison de Maison Rouge. Now, this is the thing. When we get to Prophet Noble Dwali. And you, of course, you get this information from Return of the Ancient Ones, written by Her Highness the Empress Washita of Verdiati, Washita Gaston, trying to obey. But what she says, the book, you will see that Prophet Noble Dwali, being the son, all right. As we go here, it says Frederick Houston Washington, regent of the Empire Washington, the money, married Annie Frank Turner, the recipient of the 1762 and 1795 Spanish, and the heirs of the Henry Joseph Turner estate. This is why when you get the court document, the United States Supreme Court cannot and have not ruled against the Washington in this regard, and opposed the decision of 1848 1850 and also from 1992, all right, in which that proved that what they call the Louisiana Purchase never was purchased and that it was never sold and that these land grants still show forth the original owners of this land. This is what it says, is that the eldest daughter of Frederick and Frankie is the current imperial empress of the Washita, which is Berdiaki Tierra Washington, or Washita. And Berdiaki married John Gaston, his son of Corella Turner. Now, for those who don't know who Corella is, she's the daughter of Eliza Turner, which Eliza Turner is the mother of Prophet Ghali. So Corella and Prophet Ghali are brothers and sisters. All right? And Eliza is the daughter of Sarah Turner and Henry Joseph Turner. And John Gaston became the sixth Marquis de Maison Rouge after Noble Ghali, who had been the fifth Marquis de Maison Rouge. All right, this is how Prophet Noble Ghali was able to go to Havana, Cuba, and show that he was over the Moorish territory. Of course, many temples speaks about the vast estate, but they can't explain it because they choose not to go in this direction and get the information and prove and show what was being shown forth in that 1928 Pan-American Conference. Remember, these particular notes were hidden and are hidden, and no one I know of these notes. But we don't need the notes when we understand that Prophet Noble Ghali is the fifth Marquis of the Maison de Rouge. Remember, he's the royal, in other words, he's the prince of the Washita Prophet. In other words, of all the land called Louisiana Purchase, which is more than 3/4, as he stated, which is 30 million acres, he was over that. And remember, we showed you not just portions of North America, but also Central America, the adjoining island, which is Caribbean, and it was also South America. And we also showed you, and I told you, about the land in which I've connected even in Western Europe, in which that was part of these land grants, the Spanish so-called land grant, the Spain, Portugal, holiday. Even today, right, there's land in Spain in which that the Spanish government is waiting for the Moors to claim. And it comes by way of the Spanish land grant.
Okay. Yes, actually, Prophet Noble Ghali was a Washita Moor.
Right.
Through and through.
And how we know, right. And so we know that Timothy Drew or Prophet Noble Ghali was prince, a fifth regent, royal regent, or Maison de Maison Rouge, by and through his mother Eliza, a daughter of Sarah Turner and Henry Joseph Turner. Now, Eliza Turner married John Drew Kitman, and Kitman, of course, is Kittawa, which is the Cherokee, one of the five Cherokee names. And his name was John Drew. Now, according to the oral statements and prophecies of Prophet Noble Ghali, this is what he says: I am the fifth and the last prophet, and I am five times more powerful than I was before. Now, why did he say, I'm the fifth and the last prophet, and I am five times more powerful than I was before? Because it symbolizes him being the fifth royal regent, Marquis de Maison Rouge, or the royal prince of the proper, of the Washita proper.
Yeah, missing piece of the puzzle.
That's
the piece of the puzzle. The reason why Noble Ghali is referred to as a prophet because he had land, the land of milk and honey, Canaan, to take us, the Osirians, known as the Israelites, all right, to, unlike the allegorical fictitious character, Moses, whose story is based on Amenhotep IV, or Akhenaten, or Unkhenaten, we know that it is also said that, based on Brother A.Y. Bay, as Grand National Secretary, he said that Prophet Bradley said, "I didn't tell anyone where I was born at and who my parents were, because I did not want the people to make a shrine out of the place or make over my parents like they done with Joseph and Mary." And of course, he's talking about his mom, Eliza Turner, and John Drew, or Cherokee, who was his father was full-blooded Cherokee, which is right there out of Clinton, North Carolina, Sampson County, and his mom was pure-blooded Washington, or Tunica, right there out of Louisiana. This is why they say that he was raised up on the Cherokee Reservation in North Carolina. Born 1886. January 8th. Right. That comes through the royal bloodline. So
yes,
that's
sir.
What he was saying. Now, if you read the documentation by the United States versus the Turner heirs, you see something very fascinating. Because in the particular documents, I'm going to read this to you. It says, Sarah Turner, Eliza Turner, Andy Turner, and George W. Turner are the true and lawful owners of and have good title against the United States. That's what it says. The defendants in and to all the land, and hereditament claimed by them in their raid petition, which lands are described as follows on a map of survey executed on 27 March 1820. All right? And this is what it says, land on both sides of the said river, Washita.
Wow. All
right? And within the track numbers, 1 and 2 of the said grant and survey. Now, how much land was this? Is the small amount was the 68,883 acres of land. That's the small amount, but it ranged over to 30 million acres, right, from out of Louisiana, spread it into a V all the way across the state, all the way up until almost the whole of Canada. Now, Eliza Turner and John Drew Kitman, they played an important role in the in our heritage because it was part of the landmark case of the free woman and man, also referred to in law, right, as this, you know, as the free man or free man, all
right?
Right. Of course, you know, later on that the so-called Freeman Bureau and all that other stuff. But they state that they won back the 68,883 acres of land in Louisiana, which is the mid to northern portion of Louisiana. With the court case of the United States versus the heirs of Henry Turner, case 32 by heirs of Henry, called the heirs of Henry Turner versus the United States, case 191 in 1848. In other words, in these two cases, this is what it says. June 6, 1848, a Supreme Court decision read by B.O.H. McLeod, who was the judge, declared that the United States does not own the land of the ancient ones, the mound builders of North America. Right? It goes on. The Moors are the title holders. The titles are actually your names, the El, the Bay, the Day, the Al, and Ali, translated into the five civilized tribes. This is why they keep trying to get all these white folks up into stealing your birthright. This is why you see all these white folks that keep Chickasaw Creek, Muskogee, Choctaw, and the Seminole.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the court declared that the lawful landowners or the heirs of the Henry Turner, a series of congressional bills, acts, and the United States court cases reaffirmed national sovereignty for the heirs of Henry Turner, these bourbon. And the claim has been recorded before the World Court at The Hague in 1996. That since the Treaty of Urrecht, 1713, in which that the Spanish Bourbon had established themselves as the protectorate of land known as the Floridas on behalf of the Empire of Washington D.W. Dominion. Here are two United States Supreme Court cases in which that the Washington won, and that is Supreme S-U-P-R-E-M-E dot Justia, J-U-S-T-I-A dot com, C-O-M, right slash U-S, that's U-S, right slash 52, right slash 663, right slash. And here's the other one, Supreme, once again, dot Justia, J-U-S-T-I-A dot com, right slash U.S., right slash 44, right slash 77, or 773, right slash case, C-A-S-E dot H-T-M-L. The United States Court, or Supreme Court, found that the neutral strip, which is over nearly 3 million acres, approximately, right, and that's not including 27 million more acres in Canada. This is just within the United States, 3 million. And the other territories of the land were definitely not part of the territory ceded to the United States. So the United States was never ceded that property by any means whatsoever. Matter of fact, the Department of Transportation in 1940, in 1992, showed that 68,000 acres of land by the State Department Land Grant 923. Right slash 1991 designated Washington proper, and that Washington Terra included a Florida. This is documentation in the National Archives of Washington, D.C., and ultimately that confirms the mound builders. All right. Now, the United States has recognized the Empire of Washington, D.C. as indigenous people of North America, and has under,
right.
has under consideration in the 105th Congress, H.R. number 260, right? Guadeloupe and the Hidalgo Treaty Claims Act of January 1997, right? So when people ask, is there any documentation yet? 1996, 1997, 1992? Well, this was done by the Empress. And as a matter of fact, let me read this article before we continue on because she busts a hole in it. This is what she says.
Huh.
And they have not been able to come back yet in order to verify this. She said the Empress said their land was never included in any land deal. That is, it was not part of the Louisiana Purchase when sold to Spain to France. Nor was it bought in 1803 when France rolled it over to the United States. President Thomas Jefferson was well aware of the fraud of the fraudulent land deal and stated his sentiments at the time. In truth, land spoken of has never been part of the United States of America. It's always belonged to the ancient ones. It sounds like the same land President Abraham Lincoln is going to return to the Moors after slavery. He called it the Egypt of the West. Now go back and watch the movie. Check it out. Now go back and watch the movie. What's the name of National Treasures?
Okay.
Go back to that.
What was that?
National Treasures.
National Treasures.
National Treasures.
Oh, okay.
Watch part one is good, but part two showed you how all this land actually was ours. Part two. And they show you the Olmec spaces in the City of Gold, there found under Mount Rushmore, which is in where?
Rushmore.
Right, exactly.
There's some.
Right, where's Mount Rushmore located at? Anyone?
Is it Mount Rushmore?
Where's Mount Rushmore located at?
Yeah, that's where all the dead presidents are sculptured at.
Right. But we know that it's located where? Near the Dakotas, right?
Yes,
yeah.
All right. So, this is where it goes on to say. He called it the Egypt of the West or Central America, the land between the Rockies and the Allegheny. All right? from the Gulf of Mexico up into Canada on both sides of the Mississippi. In 1848, the Washita, also called the Oshita, and the Tonica nations took their land case before the United States Supreme Court and won their case under Judge Taney. The same judge in 1856 gave his opinion, which was not a legal decision, in the tragic Dred Scott case, because he came in there as Negro, black and colored.
Exactly, yes.
Coming in proper persona to the jury, which basically stated that there is nothing a black man has that a white man is bound to respect. The result of this opinion meant further slavery and death to the Washita, Choctaw, and other nations. It was murdered by the tens of thousands, enslaved and ran off their land. Their names were changed to hide the truth of their history. The Washita became Washington, and the Choctaw became Turner, a Turner. All right? This is what she says in the article. Now, the Washita defect among more of the listed at the United Nations under the Indigenous Project, they were known or renamed the Indigenous Peoples Organization number 21593, meaning that the seat number for the Washita at the United Nations was 215, and it became effective in the year of 1993. According to international law, the Washita has established itself as a sovereign independent nation, right? This United Nations NIS-21/593. Which is apart from the corporate union of 1781 and the corporate United States of 1787. The land claim of the Washita has been affirmed by Spain and France, as well as Britain, pursuant to the Spanish land grants of 1762 and 1795. Washita is deducted among the Moors, maybe non-U.S. citizens, all right? Can be non-U.S. citizens, right, nationals, but not United States citizens, which is corporation, and that is found within the Dred Scott case versus Sam. So, that is what is going on. I'm going to get to more of it in a second here, but I definitely want some opinions on what y'all think.
It's just great. I mean, think about it. I mean, you know, the Washita has a seat in the UN. And this is what El Haj Malik Shabazz was talking about, taking our case to the UN. You know,
right.
but you can't do that. You know, with the improper status. You know, you must proclaim your Moorish nationality.
Right.
And you know, that's how the human rights will you know, apply to us. You know, we all have human rights, but as a 14th Amendment citizen, you know, it does not apply to you, you know, to be respected. And this is what they were talking about in the Dred Scott case. How can a black man or denationalized Moor be respected?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And see, that's something which that we have to come to the conclusion of. I went through the Afrocentristic movement myself. I mean, as I got into the Reformation, I read Dr. Ben John Henry talk, you know, trick up the office, you know, John G. Jackson, Carter G. Wilson. I've read everybody, you know, hundreds and thousands of books, but I knew there was stuff in which I was still missing. Understood that, you know, and there was keys on which I was given, such as the miseducation of the Negro by Carter G. Wilson. He states in it that many of us have not even been to Africa, and that actually many of us are not even African. But he says this in the book. Now, I went back and had to go back and reread his book in order to pick that up. And I understood what he meant by that once I went back and reread it. He was saying that we was indigenous from here already.
Yeah, and going back to El Haj Malik Shabazz, you know, which they call Malcolm X, he said, we didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us. So if the rock landed on you, you must have been standing there when it landed.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I wonder if they picked that up.
I doubt it.
Yeah, I doubt it. You know, but I mean that's the reason why we'd be holding this for people can pick it up and, you know, come into realization and stuff that the new nationality will need to be tied to land mass. You know, you can't continue being stateless or i.e. landless, you know, hence having no nationality. That is something that you can't continue doing, you know. You can't form a nation and which is based on some type of protection, you know, if you're not in proper status or in proper standing. You know, if you're just, you know, dealing with things from just that particular aspect of just, you know, Negro, Black, and colored or labels, you know, then and you're fine with being listed as an advocate, because that's what those actually are, or being listed as colorable law, which is a guise or a disguise of a real law, which is the jail law, and you never be in de facto law, then, I mean, that is a choice, you know. But you know that, as the brother said, the 14th Amendment was never fully ratified. You know, you know that the just that case, even though it was just a mere opinion, still holds weight to this very day. They still teach this particular law case in law school. And they're trying to get you to understand it that names that go black and colors or adjectives or labels on which that is used in order to denationalize individuals. This is why it's on the birth certificate, which spells it's still bomb. With it being on your birth certificate or being tied into a computer database that you are particular things about you correcting that any shape, form, or level, you know, this is why I'm going to say that have an affidavit or affidavits put on the register on the record so that you have something in order to counteract what they put on the record, which is most of the things that was your brother. So you want your baptismal record or live telephone form also showing, well, that's the explanation show. I'm not Willie Bobo. You know, I'm Mustafa on deck.
All right.
I come back to knowledge of that the name in which that last rule is Western Empire, which was the ultimate empire, which is the Moroccan Empire, as it is called, which is actually sung by Malian with the old man called the Kushite Empire. All of it is the same thing known as the Empire Wash Lake with that money. Nine days. So once you understand that, then that's where all these pieces of this puzzle will come more together and start to judge. But as long as we have people who are, you know, constantly trying to fight that information, you know, just because they have an agenda of their own or they just want to, you know, memorize and quote Prophet Obadiah Lee and just one aspect, then it's not something on which that is going to come together. It's not something on which that is going to be unified because they choose not to see the pieces of the puzzle. We're not here to do that. In the Moorish Holy Temple of Science of the world, we are here in order to put the pieces of this puzzle together so that we can have more of a clarity on where we need to move as a people.
I mean, really, what you just went over, you really explained who the prophet really is.
Oh, no
right.
doubt.
You know, and which traces the royal bloodline.
Oh, yeah.
And, right. You know, yeah, and the empress did a perfect job of documenting everything because she's related to the prophet. So, you know, this is the missing piece, and if not, the main piece.
Oh yeah,
right.
You know,
yeah.
to see the full picture, you know.
See, somebody say, so yeah,
just quoting, just saying that we have a vast estate, and most people don't know what it is, or if they're just going to quote chapter 47 or whatever the case is, but they don't understand what it really is.
Exactly.
You know, how we use the government, and how it is still under these names from the last ultimate empire, which is the last empire, or the last Western empire. That's what we were. We are the remnants of this last Western empire, and this is found in the definition of amorality, as well as also within the definition of pursuit of law, consumer court. When you look those two words up, amorality and consumer court, you will see that it says, in amorality, the last Western Empire. Now, amorality was brought forth after the shutting down of consumer court, after the abolishment of the last Western Empire. Now, you look at the last Western Empire, and then you go to Casula, and what is the word Morocco? In the fourth floor, this is the Black Law Dictionary, fourth edition, the Lux. So, the last Western Empire was Morocco. This means it was here. It just didn't come from out of Africa. We did import and export trading amongst our people. All right, and this is shown. We read this information last week. We went over this information. And I'm going to make mention of it again. There's some good books in which that we can get. What They Never Told You in History Class by Indo Kim Kush. Another good book is The Missing Pages of History by Indo Kim Kush. All right. Now, let me come down so we can get into that info right quick, because you made mention of this last week, and I want to make sure that everybody is getting proper understanding, overstanding, understanding of this. Now, this is coming from John G. Jackson. But before I get to him, no, let's go to John Henry Clark, because we have a lot of Afrocentric brothers and sisters who love quoting John Henry Clark, but when it comes to this information that I'm going over, they fail to quote him on this. So we want to make sure that he's quoted properly. All right. It's called African, Christopher Columbus and the Myth of the New World. Check out what he says now. It must also be added that Amerigo Vespucci, on his voyage to the Americas, witnessed the Mandingos of Mali, or the Olmecs, and the Songhai Empire, later identified as the Moroccan Empire.
Ain't this some?
Yeah, out in the Atlantic, returning to Africa. Hold up now, hold up, goddamn. This is John Henry Clark now. This is John Henry Clark. It is African, Christopher Columbus, and the Myth of the New World. These are the myths he breaking down here, y'all. He just destroyed that myth that y'all think that Morocco is the kingdom of Africa. Just being after. No, we're talking about the empire. And he says who this is. He says it must be added that Amerigo Vespucci, on his voyage to the Americas, witnessed the Mandingo of Mali, which is the Olmec, and the Songhai Empire, which is the Songhai Malian Empire, both of them together, later identified as the Moroccan Empire. Out in the Atlantic. What is the damn Moroccan Empire doing out in the Atlantic? Returning to Africa. Now he says returning to Africa. What the hell was they doing out in the Atlantic? Returning to Africa. Where was they at?
Moroccan Empire.
Right, but go to chapter 47. Go to chapter 47 in the Holy Quran. Who got chapter 47? You got your Holy Quran, Circle 7 there, brother?
Yes, sir.
Brother, yes, Dad, put
47
for me. Go to chapter 47 for me.
Chapter 47. Let me see if I get it right here, right quick. 44. I got 40. Here, I got it. 47. Egypt, the capital empire of the Dominion of Africa. The inhabitants of Africa are the descendants of the ancient Canaanite from the land of Canaan. See here, turn this page, okay. Old Man Cush and his family are the first inhabitants of Africa who came from the land of Canaan. His father Ham and his family were second then came the word Ethiopia, which means the demarcation line of the dominion of Amexum, the first true and divine name of Africa, the dividing of the land between the Father and the Son. The dominion of Kush, northeast and southeast Africa, and northwest and southwest was his father's dominion of Africa. Paragraph 5. In later years, many of their brethren from Asia and the Holy Lands joined them. Paragraph 6. The Moabites from the land of Moab, who received permission from the pharaohs of Egypt to settle and inhabit northwest Africa, they were the founders and are the true possessors of the present Moroccan Empire, with the Canaanite, Hittite, Amorite brethren who sojourned from the land of Canaan seeking new homes.
Okay, so they were seeking new homes, so they was out in the Atlantic seeking new homes?
That's what it says.
Okay. So they was out in the Atlantic seeking new homes. Continue reading, brother.
Okay, paragraph 7. Their dominion and inhabitation extended from northeast and southwest Africa across the Great Atlantis, even into the present North, South, and Central America, and also Mexico and the Atlantis Islands before the great earthquake which caused the Great Atlantic Ocean.
Exactly.
When the lands were connected.
Yes, sir.
Exactly. John Henry Clark just verified the Africans, who was the Mandingos of Mali, who's the Omex, the Songhai Empire, who later became known or identified as the Moroccan Empire, how they was out in the Atlantic returning to Africa. And as you just finished reading, Prophet Nobujali verifies that, in which that states that not only were they out in the Atlantic, they show you where the home in which that they connected with, which was north, central, and south, particularly in Mexico. Who was that in the Mexico region? They're known as the Omecans. Hence the term Amexum. That is where the word Amexum comes from. It's from the Omex, who were not just in Africa, hence you get the word Amexum, but also here in the Americas, you get the word Amexum. From the Omex, the Mandingos of the Malian and the Songhai empires. It goes on in the article of African Explorers of the New World, Henry G. Lawrence states this: we can now positively state that the Mandingos of Mali and the Songhai Empire are possibly other Africans, check this out, and possibly other Africans crossed the Atlantic to carry on trade with the Western Hemisphere Indians and further succeeded in establishing colonies throughout the Americas. What did he say? Here's the reason why Prophet Nobujali would tell you within the oral statements and prophecies that along the Mississippi, he seen Moors, there was Moors up and down the Mississippi before the arrival of the Europeans. All right. Now, what the Hemisphere Indians, what he isn't saying is that actually we was here before them, in which that is verified through quite a bit of other information. All right, but this is what we're going over tonight. If there's anything else that y'all want to add on to as far as what we just demonstrated.
Go ahead.
Yes, I almost forgot to tell you. Yes, I had a hard time getting this portrait from my mother because it's our family, from our family archives. And I'm going to take the picture with the portrait tomorrow at a studio. Is what my great-great-grandmother, it's a 19th century portrait of her. She's I've been told by all the family, all the elders of my family, that she is a Choctaw. And Choctaw. And yes, sir, Choctaw. And I'm more affiliated with the Washtaw than I thought. So when I get that picture, I'm definitely sending you a copy, brother. You're Dr. Eileen.
Right.
send it to you. Yes, sir.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that. yes, a 19th century portrait. And the photographer asked me that I wanted to take it out of the frame. I said, no, this is a 19th century portrait. And my mother was saying, no, we can't even let the air hit that picture. You know, because it's so old. You know, we talking post-Civil War era here. You know.
Right.
So, yeah, she's dressed up in European clothing. You can tell she the so-called Native American Indian features, and she also has Moorish features as well. But I will send you a picture and talk to you about it and see what you think of it.
No way. No doubt. Brother Olabani, yeah. You have anything to add on before we get up off of here?
Yeah, they coming out with the Long Ranger. And they're definitely trying to distort the image of what the indigenous people look like. I think Johnny Depp is playing Tonto, which means fool or idiot. So they're going to distort the image. I mean, think about it. They could have picked any movie to make. Why this particular one? You know, at this present time, and just what the brother L, the Grand Sheik was saying. His family is connected. So, I mean, think about it. Do you look like Johnny Depp?
No.
You know, so you could have auditioned for that role.
Exactly.
So of course they're going to distort the image again, you know, so people could not identify and have that connection. You know, and I was just reading on Facebook today, and a woman was saying about how we need to move to Africa, but from what you just went over and what the prophet revealed, we already home. So hey, we identify with that side as well as this side. I mean, and according to that land grant, we even have claims to parts of Europe as well, because we didn't even discuss that part. You know, we didn't even discuss that.
Yes, sir.
Well, I did. That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, you did. You did. Right. But think about that, though.
I didn't go into that, exactly. But that's in the Hatchberg.
Yeah.
I want people to know you did research. Exactly.
That's some deep stuff here.
That was the black nobility of Europe. You know, and wow. You know, we stretched that far? Man.
That land, them land grants cover a lot of ground,
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We can't throw this piece of the puzzle out. This is a very important piece.
Exactly, yeah.
Can't do it.
No. Nope,
you won't
no
never
way.
Understand what the prophet was really trying to say.
Exactly. You know, and I think about these temples, and they read the Circle 7 all the time and during the meetings, and they never discussed this part, chapter 47.
Yeah.
Right.
And he talked about his family and his mother, and he said that he didn't want... you know, for people to really know the details surrounding her, because think about it, if you understood who she really was, and understood, you would have understood that she was of royalty. So, I mean, think about it. You know, he knew how you would react to that. It's right there in the oral statements. I know just what you was talking about.
Yeah, you know, so I was really amazed at the first time I was told that my great-great-grandmother was Choctaw. And I'm like, huh? I said, no, you know, wait. You said she's what? She is Choctaw. And when I look at the portrait, I'm like, because when I was a young boy, I always said she looked like, at that time, I always said she looked like an Indian. And my grandmother said, well, she is.
I said, oh, you know, that's all I thought about it at that time, you know. But now, you know, it shows me how much we are linked to the Choctaw and also to the Ouachita, more than I thought I was.
Yep.
I mean, you know. Yeah. So that back up a lot of things the three of us were talking about tonight.
That's right. That's right. But, I mean, but we got to think about it. Why else would there be an urge for us? There has to be something, some type of DNA explosion, some type of ancestral voice or connection in which that is leading us to particular information and manifestation.
Uh-huh.
You know, I remember at 11, I was walking out of my bedroom at my grandmother's house, and I was thinking about slavery, and I was thinking about lynching and castrations and all that stuff. And the voice just popped out of nowhere in my head and said, what if we was already here?
Mm-hmm.
And I never denied that voice, because that voice is just, I mean, that it was just as clear as day. The voice was just as clear as I don't know what. What if we was already here? So there was already something within me, as there is within each and every one of us, in which that is leading us to down this path, you know, of correcting this misinformation in which that we've been taught.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
And this is why we've been put in these positions, is to get the information out.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not coincidence, neither. It's not coincidental.
No.
It's not coincidental. I had connected to Dr. Arlene and being processed into the Ouachita Nation with my papers and my nationality and birthright papers. That's not a coincidence. Then next thing I found out, my great-great-grandmother's a Choctaw. You know.
Exactly.
You know, what? You know.
Exactly. So that's a sign of an ancestry voice moving through your veins, moving through your bloodline. That's what they can't stop. They can't stop bloodline.
They can't.
So they know that blood or plasma is message. That's why they have plasma TV. You know, it's because it symbolizes being able to translate messages or message codes. This is why they use plasma TVs. The same thing with you. Your blood has plasma to translate message codes or messages. You know, that's how it works. It works through the plasma, hence through your bloodline. So you can't deny that. There's nothing you can do.
That's right.
It's always going to come out. Always going to know the truth.
Yes, sir.
Hmm. Wow. And same with my family. I met my cousin walking downtown Brooklyn, and she was talking about, yeah, you know, I used to get teased in school that I'm Indian in my family, and I got a family member that traced our family tree and found out that we are Indians.
Uh-huh.
But in my mind, I knew we are Moors. Because, I've been studying. So I was like, okay. You just verified it. You know, just verified it right there. You know, I asked my grandfather, I said, did we ever find out, like, have ever been told that we got Indian in our family? He said, yeah, they did say that. You know, but come to find out, on my grandfather's side, either his father or his father's father has Indian on their birth certificate. And that's what my cousin was talking about. So, of course, that's a misnomer, because we're Moors. But that just verified everything.
Yes, sir. It sure does. Without a doubt.
You know? So, yeah.
We all bloodline.
Yeah. Well, ain't no doubt about it, brother.
Yes, sir.
Well, we all Moors.
Oh, no doubt about it. No if and buts about it, brother.
Yeah. We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us.
Exactly.
Exactly. All right. Any closing remarks? Anything else?
Yes, sir. All I can say is love, peace, and honor to both of you. I haven't met the other brother yet. I haven't met you in either Eileen person, but I mean that from the heart.
I appreciate that, brother.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you, no doubt. Appreciate you, Brother Olabala, coming on with me.
I appreciate you. You know, I love you, brother.
Yes, sir.
You know, I love the princes as well. And I just love all my family members. And all I can say as my closing remark is study, study, study.
Yes, sir. Well.
Study some more.
And some more. Well.
No doubt. And when you finish studying, you will ask for the study again, I will say yourself.
Exactly. Ourselves.
Yeah.
All right.
Understand the higher and lower self, like the prophet told us to do, and transcend the ego.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
In fact, we'll go to the soul reflection. Let me see if I can get it here. Now, let me go to biochemical equation. Let's see. And I'll be closing out, Paul.
All right.
Tempted by the sins of life, the pleasures of lust, the wild imaginings that you can't discuss. Oh, the flesh is weak, it's a struggle for peace, it's a daily conflict between man and beast. We strive for God and a better tomorrow, still suffering from the unforgettable soul. Repent from thy sins, son, and walk ye straight. Stop talking all that trash, boy, and walk ye straight. Afflicted by the pressures of life at every vital point. Still, I wouldn't give a oint, or flinch an inch, or pinch a pinch off the pie, or ever try to try your wrench. Confronted by the devil himself and stay strong. You think you could take the king, now meet Kong. Strong as the base of a mountain, there's no counting how many MCs have sprung from my fountain. 50,000 year process to make this combination. I'm not giving mine away to Satan, although I know that he's awaiting to get a hold of my biochemical equation. I'm a slip of sun, I'm a dip of sun. When I cast a drop on him, I'm a clip of sun. 50,000 year process to make this combination. 99 elements, biochemical manifestation. I'm not giving mine away to Satan, although I know that he's awakened. I'm a slip of sun, I'm a dip of sun. When I cast a drop on him, I'm a clip of sun.
Bedrock, straight to the head with the pet rock. At least till I can get from out this booth, it's like a sweat box. Trade a few bars of head nodding, throw us a stack. Pay them and it's sold up like thread and bobbin bonus pack. Invest in the first B-boy kid show. Live on Skid Row with Jive talking Negroes. He wear his beard like a frizzly haired grizzly and kept his appearances exquisitely rare. Where is he? Busy in your backyard or on your front porch. Or standing in the corner of the club with a blunt torch. It's off. They say he rhyme like he's starving. And sold odds and bobkins to old gods and goblins. Golly, adjust a pet and your worst best friend. Who mends in rich space-time fabrics like polyester blends. Not a hobby for no knobby knee. Lesser men are sloppy like the rest of them. Then floppy knee estrogen.
Yo, yo, 50,000 year process to make this combination. I'm not giving mine away to Satan. Although I know that he's awaiting to get a hold of my biochemical equation. I'm a slip of sun, I'm a dip of sun. When I cast a drop on him, I'm a clip of sun. 50,000 year process to make this combination. 99 elements, biochemical manifestation. I'm not giving mine away to Satan. Although I know that he's awakened. I'm a slip of sun, I'm a dip of sun. When I catch a drop on him, I'm a clip of sun.